2nd of May, and it's the day after an exam. Yes. Spreadsheet. Who's got the spreadsheet? Mess around the spreadsheet, please. Turn in your assignments. It's the end of the semester, so it does get a little, it gets a little hairy because all of a sudden somebody goes, oh, and they do all their assignments one night with a lot of caffeine and whatever other pharmaceuticals to stay awake. And then they turn it all in, and I said, okay, I'll get back to you. They want you to grade it right away. I said, no, just relax. You know, I calm down. You took a long time to get them to me. I'll take a while to get them back to you, but I will. And I got stuff going on, believe it or not, that's really pretty crazy. So it's exciting. It's an exciting time. But we did exam number 4, and many of you actually did pretty darn well. I was proud of you. But some of you still need to learn how to do those calculations, folks. Do not get away from this class without understanding how to discount a future stream of cash flows. All right, now, it's time to discuss options, and there should be enough there for me to give one to you and give one to him. Options. Any one more back there? Okay. Yeah, sure. There's a chance to raise a grade, a chance of meteorite my head, No, yes, turn in your assignment. I don't know if you ever look at Rate My Professors. Somebody said, oh, you don't have to worry about turning the assignments. I was like, who said that? who is this person? Obviously one of the students that goes, oh, don't worry about it. It will drop your grade. At least one, maybe two grades. In other words, if you're going to get a B, you can get a D. If you don't turn, or C, if you don't turn the assignments in. Because the assignments are basically one exam. So please do turn them in. I know, do your best you can. Contact me. I want to help people. And we're going to discuss options, but we need first need a good joke. Now, we had a joke today that was really bad. Some of you weren't here already, so I'll tell you when you're here. What's this? It was. You like that? Yeah, it's because my jokes have ignored you. How do you organize a space party? No, you just plan it. You like it? No, yeah. He still is maintaining his sense of dignity.
Yeah. Making an asteroid of yourself.
An asteroid. Oh, good. I like that. I got to remember that one. An asteroid of yourself. Okay, now here's another joke that you're not going to understand right now, but eventually you will. In fact, I think it's attributed to Warren Buffett. I'm not exactly sure. At a very exclusive party, a high-class, finely clad woman slinked up to the CEO of a Fortune 500 company executive and said, I will do anything. Anything you want. The CEO flatly responded, reprice my options. Now, you can laugh maybe, but you don't understand what that means, but you will. By the time we're done with options and futures, you understand, okay, he lost a lot of money, and he wants her to reprice his options. Okay, so let's get started. Now, what is an option? Well, really, folks, the technical term is option contract. But it gets difficult to say, especially when many people will use the term options contract, or they'll say options contracts. So it gets hard to say. So what most people do is just use the term option. Yeah, spreadsheet, pass it that way. So when you hear option, you also know that we're talking option contract. If you hear option contract, we're actually talking about option. They are used interchangeably. But the technical term is an option contract. And it is a security, which means it is a financial instrument that is traded amongst individuals. It gives the holder the right to buy or sell a certain amount of an underlying financial asset at a specified price for a specified period of time. So it is a form of what are called derivatives. They derive their value from something else. So in that respect, they drive people insane. Because you say, I bought an option on Apple. Did you buy Apple? No. You bought an option to buy Apple or sell Apple. And herein lies the insanity. Because there are options to buy and there are options to sell. So it reminds me of Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass. And in fact, some of you look in the back, I can't draw in a scale, I can't draw a mirror, but if you think of it, there's a mirror running down the middle of this note sheet, and that the two are basically mirror opposites of one another. And if anybody's ever tried to cut their own hair in the mirror, I just stabbed myself just about a week ago, trying to use my knit. Because you move this way because you think in the mirror you're supposed to move this way, but no, you're supposed to move the other way. It's the same thing happens with options. They allow you to buy a right to buy a stock or sell a stock or buy a bond. And there are options on other things. But they're not investments, folks.
You buy the right to buy?
You buy the right to buy. You don't have to buy. It's an option. You can buy it or sell it. No. If you're buying it, you're betting the price is going to go up. If you're buying it to sell, you're betting on the price to go down. And watch. Relax. Breathe deeply. Options contracts are not investments, in my humble opinion. Why? Because if we go back to the very first slide, what is an investment? It is something that has a reasonable expectation of either increasing your value or holding its value or paying dividends or interest or some kind of rent or cash flows. And options do none of that. They are contracts between two investors. Now, you never meet the person. It's all done electronically. The buyer of the option contract gets the right to buy or sell the financial asset at a given price for a given period of time. And the seller of the option, the other person on the other end of the contract, remember, a contract is an agreement between two entities, people or companies or whatever, the seller must buy or sell the asset according to the terms of the contract. So, options contracts are part of a class of securities called derivatives. Derivatives are securities that derive their value from the price behavior of an underlying real or financial asset. Real meaning commodities such as oil, pork bellies, if you saw that movie where they talked about pork bellies, which is basically bacon. And real estate and the like. And then financial assets or securities. Options contracts have no voting rights. They receive no dividends, no interest, no rent, and they eventually disappear. They eventually expire. Their value comes from the fact that they allow the holder of the option to participate in the price behavior of the underlying asset with a much lower capital outlay. By the way, as we've already said, options contracts are usually just referred to as options. Now, I'm going to use both interchangeably because that's what I do. I've noticed myself, even if I've made conscious decisions during class to always use the word option or always use the word option contract, I typically just go back and forth just because I do, without conscious thought, forethought. So I apologize for that. I'm not trying to confuse you. You just need to know that that's what people are going to do. They're going to interchange the term option and option contract.
Joanna.
Okay. Now, options allow an investor to leverage, there's that word again, leverage their outlay of capital. Leverage is the ability to obtain a given equity position at a reduced capital investment, thereby magnifying their returns. With options, you can make the same amount of money from a stock or other security as if you bought it for full price, but only come up with one-tenth or less than the money. So if a stock goes up, your option will go up a whole lot more in terms of percentage because you only had to put a little bit of money down. Now, wait a minute. Does that sound too good to be true? When anything sounds too good to be true, it usually is too good to be true. It is too good to be true. In my humble opinion, you're going to get out of it. I'm going to tell you my biases right up front. But in my humble opinion, options are gambling, and we'll see. Much of the time, you lose the entire outlay. Why? Because options have a time limit. Does a stock have a time limit? No, the company could last forever. Now it could go bankrupt. Does the bond have a time limit? Yeah, but you knew that already. You knew that the bond was going to expire, redeemed, was going to mature in 20, 30 years. But options, 3, 6 months, and then they're gone. And most options expire worthless. What is the rationale? Well, instead of buying a stock that you're happy with, you think, hey, I think I'm going to buy Apple, I'm going to buy Google, I'm going to watch them go up. Instead, you buy an option to buy the stock. Now remember, it's a mirror. There's also options to sell the stock. But let's talk about options to buy. If a stock goes up, your option will go up almost always much, much, much faster. And you can sell the option for a handsome profit. You don't have to wait and then buy the stock. You're buying an option to buy the stock, but the option itself is a security, and they trade. So you can buy the option one day, and then 3 days later sell it. Or wait for 3 months, and then exercise your option and buy the stock. There's only one catch. There's always a catch. The option expires in 3, 6, 9 months, and if the stock does not go up, what's going to happen to the value of your option? Whew, it becomes worthless. Most options expire worthless. Have I said that already?
Yes.
I think I want to say it a few more times. There are some scenarios that we'll take a look at probably on Tuesday where options can be worthwhile, but in my humble opinion, they are few and far between. So let's take a look at the stock that is currently selling for $20. $20 stock, all right? You buy one share. So how much did you have to come up with? $20. Now, let's say the stock goes up to $30. Yippee! How much did I make?
$10.
How much did I bring to the table?
$21.
Everyone should be saying this. Tough question. What? Okay, let's try it. How much did I make?
$10.
How much did I bring to the table?
$21.
So you take $10 divided by $20, and what's your return on investment? Calculator pants?
50%.
Right? 50%. Yippee! Okay? Now, let's say you bought an option to buy the stock. You didn't buy the stock. You bought an option. So an option to buy at $20, that's called the exercise price. It's also called, we'll get to these terms, the strike price. Like that name, strike. As in lucky strike. Okay, you buy an option to purchase the share of a stock at $20. Currently selling at $20. Now, the option might only cost you $1. You buy an option for $1. How much money did you put into the transaction?
$1.
Now, if the share price goes up to $30, the price of the option will go up to probably around $11, depending on how much time is left. The same $10 rise, you see that? The option will track the stock. Depending on investors' expectations and how much time is left, but in general, if the stock went up 10 points, $10, the option would go up $10. Now, you made that same $10 on how much of an investment?
A dollar.
And so what kind of return is that?
100%?
1,000%. Yippee! Yeah. And this is why, dear students, if you get involved in investing in any form, you're going to get on certain... Oh, over here. You're going to get on certain websites and email lists and mailing lists, and you're going to get something in the mail saying you should be making at least 1,000% a year investing in options, and we're going to show you how. Come to our 2-hour free seminar where we'll recruit you to take the 2-day seminar for only $2,995. I'm not kidding you, folks. They're out there, and they're going to teach you how to trade options in 2 days. Surefire, guaranteed money back. And don't worry about putting on your credit card, because, folks, in 3 weeks, you'll pay that credit card off before the bill even shows up, and you'll be rich beyond your wildest dreams. And when that doesn't work, you'll come back and ask for your money back, and then we'll sell you instead the $9,995 5-day super exclusive seminar, which teaches you the secret tricks that we did not get to in the 2-day seminar. And when that doesn't work, we know a sucker when we see one. And we're going to sell you the $25,000 2-week in Kauai, Hawaii, super exclusive. And it's, yeah, basically the same thing. Just flip a coin. Oh, well. You're not, that's right. It's all your fault. So you earn $10 on a $1 investment. Now, there's leverage in action. Congratulations. Pat yourself on the back. Aren't you proud of yourself? Maybe. Well, what if the stock price stays at 20 or goes down? What's going to happen to your option? Poof, it'll evaporate. I like that word, evaporate. It will disappear. It will expire worthless. Did I say that most options expire worthless? Yes, I did. I'll probably say it again. Deja vu. And then, of course, what happens? After the option expires, the stock zooms to $40. You were absolutely right, but wrong time. You were so sure that the stock was going to hit the big time, and you were absolutely right, but because you not bought an option that expired, you lost the ability to share the success of the stock. So my advice, personal advice, forget about the option. Just buy the stock. Peter Lynch says don't buy options. And who am I to argue with Peter Lynch? Oh, yeah, Frank Bannon. Big name. Real big name in personal finance and investing. Peter Lynch, the white-haired guy that they trot out. He's actually been in hiding lately. He hasn't come out. He's a great guy. Read his book. One Up on Wall Street. You got to read it, right? But since it's an introduction to investments class, we need to become proficient in the concepts, terms, and techniques of options. So let's get started. And remember, I like to think of it like, yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm going to give this a buy an option for $1.
Well, very. Many of them sell for less than $1. The problem is you don't buy one. You have to buy 100. Whenever you buy one option, you basically are buying 100. So it wouldn't be $1, it would be $100. And we'll see that later on. But sure, some of them sell for 2 pennies. 1 penny, 10 cents, some of them sell for $10. You'll see. We'll see. We'll take a look at them. But yeah, it's realistic. $1 is not atypical. And so I like to think of it like instruction about syphilis. Do we teach you about syphilis so that you go out and get it?
No.
we teach you, well, it depends, you know. We teach you about this, so hopefully you'll be informed. So, yeah, when you know, oh, darn, and she was so cute, too. Anyway, definitely. I'm going to teach it to you, so I hope you learn enough to stay away from them. But, you know, there's other people who say, oh, no, I like to go to Vegas. Because think about it. When you go to Vegas, what do you see?
Hookers, strippers, money.
Money and strippers, money, alcohol, money, casinos, money. And so don't you think the brokerage firms were just wild-watering when they saw all these money going to gambling? So me some too. We want some of that. We want some of that where we get people hooked on gambling, because it's basically gambling. All right, so we need to learn about it. So this is what we're going to learn about. And here's where you're going to want the worksheet that I gave you. Not the worksheet, but the note sheet on the back. Jared, could I give you one?
Yeah.
Okay, so hold this up. Hang this in your little hands, because we're going to build it on the script, on the board. I'm going to erase this. Call options. When people talk about options, they're usually discussing call options. That's just the way people talk about options. Unless they say a put, or the word put up, the term put options, they're usually talking about a call, which is an option to buy. Okay, so try your best to stay awake on this, all right? Because it does get a little hairy.
Too late.
We got some people already falling asleep. An option to buy a stock. Now remember, there are options on bonds and other things, but we're just going to discuss stocks for now. It's a negotiable instrument, a security, that gives the buyer of the option the right to buy the underlying security, in this case we'll discuss stocks, at a stated price within a certain period of time. In the previous example, this was a call. And this is what most people will think about when they think about options. They think about call options.
So that means, like, say, you just buy the option, or you can buy the stock?
Yeah, you can buy either. But let's say you bought the stock, you own the stock, it costs you $20. Right?
You buy the option to buy the stock?
Exactly. It means that if you buy this option for a dollar, you have the right to buy that stock for $20, no matter what happens to the price. If the price zooms to $30, you still can buy that stock for $20. If the stock goes down to $15, would you bother exercising your option?
Maybe.
No. Why would you buy a stock at $20 that the market is selling for $15? If the stock goes to $100, you still have the right, until the option expires, to buy it for $20. That's it. Now, do you have to buy it?
No.
It is an option.
You can sell it for $20.
Well, it depends what happens to this price of the stock. If it goes up to $100, you could sell for about $80, right? Because they can buy it for $20 and they can sell it for $100, so the price of the option would go up to about $80. Now that's that doesn't happen that often, but it does happen. I mean, stocks do zoom like crazy sometimes.
Can you sell your option today?
Yes, you don't have to hold on to the option. The option is a security, which means it is a negotiable instrument. And often people never exercise the option; they just turn around and sell it. They don't hang on to the option. They just turn around and sell the option. They're not interested in the stock. They're just interested in trading the option.
So basically, if you
did
not buy the option, you do not have the right to buy the stock.
That's right. Well, if you said...
You have the right to buy it, but not at the price.
At the exercise price. But he said, his question is, if you don't buy the option, you don't have the right to buy the stock. You're absolutely right. If you did not buy this option, then you have to pay whatever the market is. And if the market's at $20, you get $20. If the market's at $30, you get $30. If the market goes down to $15, you get $15. But if you buy the option, you have the right, until the option expires, to buy that stock at $20.
You basically just need to lock in the price.
That's another way of looking at it.
Today's price.
Your whatever price. It doesn't have to be today's price. It's whatever price you decide upon. It's a contract. And there are different prices at any one time. It doesn't have to be today's price. It's whatever price you decide upon. Does that make sense, Ray Leo?
Yeah. Oh. So,
hang on a minute.
Say, like, Google is selling for
$800,
and I want to say, so you know, I want to lock it in for $820.
Yep.
You can't lock it in for $20.
Nobody will buy it. Nobody will take the other side of the option, unless you pay them a ton of money. Let's go look. Well, we forgot to look at how we're doing. We're doing really well. Apple caught up. So let's go take a look at Google. Google's a good example because their options are wild because they're a very volatile stock. Selling for $832, and if we go to options, we'll see that there is what's called an options chain. This is called the options chain. And right now, you can buy an option. Now, there's not too many shares, not too many contracts trading, but you can buy an option to buy at $650. It's going to cost you $138 to buy the option. Probably going to cost you more. That's the last trade. That was the last trade. Right now, at $650, somebody's asking $183. If you give them $183, they'll give you the option. But the option...
Share of Google for $650.
No. One contract to buy... and then you said $820? Yeah, there's $820. Where is it? Come on, Frank.
You have to pay the $650 plus $100.
Exactly. You'd have to pay the...
If you want to buy it for
the money. That's right. If you want to buy it. You understand? So there are different strike prices, different exercise prices. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Kind of? Okay. Okay, Oliver, let's kick off. I confused you more? I apologize. Okay, Oliver, you had a question? Right. And if you exercise the option, it's gone. You basically consummated.
Your investment in the option
is gone, and now you have the stock.
So in that case, that's been $183.
It was, how much was it? $183 to buy the option. And then you could buy the stock for $650.
So you would, if you wanted to buy that stock, it would have been the $650. That's the $183 you paid for that?
Right. That's more than what the price is. Right. So whoever's buying that option is hoping that the price goes up even higher so that the option will go up higher and they can sell the option or exercise the option.
Or it expires.
Or it expires, right. Because if Google turned around and went down, you're screwed. Make sense? Nod your head, Jess. What? Exactly. This is where you wait till Tuesday. Okay. So here we go. When people talk about options, they are usually talking about call options. Now, the other side of the coin, the other side of the mirror, is the put option. It's a negotiable instrument that gives the buyer of the option the right to sell the underlying security. So this was a put option, like a call option, but if we had bought a put option, we would be hoping that the price would go down, because then we can put it to them, we can sell it to them at $20. Are you with me? And you understand the terms call and put? Come here, stock! Come here! And remember the guys yelling and screaming at each other, going like this, calling it in, putting it. You're putting it to them. You're selling it to them. So there's two sides of the mirror. And it does get confusing. My apologies. Options are confusing. And we hope that you get involved in it. Because okay. Now, where did the terms call and put come from? How I remember. Wait, yo, sorry.
All right, so if the price goes down, do they have to buy it? Like, because in the call option, you have an option.
No. If the price goes down, will the person who bought the call option, would they exercise it?
No.
No, because they could buy the stock for 18 or 15. Why would they bother exercising?
Also, you can get the money from the contract, or whatever.
The sell. Wait a minute. What question is that? The seller gets the dollar. We haven't gotten to that point yet. Hang on a minute. We're getting ahead of ourselves. We're just doing the buy side. We bought the option to buy. We paid a dollar. We get to buy that stock at $20, no matter what happens. If it zooms to 80 or zooms to 30, we can buy it at $20. If it goes down to 15, we can still buy it at 20, but would we do that?
No.
No, we'd let the option expire. We lost.
But if you have the put option.
Put option, everything is in reverse. The put option, I know, that's where it gets crazy. That's where options really drive people nuts, and it's one of the two places on the Series 7 that people just get completely confused. And you have to pass every part of the Series 7. So what people will do is they will say, well, I got everything else. I'm not going to worry about options. You failed. Even if you get more than 70% of all overall questions, you have to pass the section on options and futures with 70%. And the same thing is true when we get the margining. It's the same idea. Like, huh? And shorting. Because there's a mirror there. Hoping that it goes up and hoping it goes down. And that's why part of the reason is very confusing. And part of the fact is just gambling. So if you bought an option to put, you want the price to go down. Because then you can sell it to somebody at $20. Even if it goes to zero, they still have to buy it. You made that contract with them. So, what? Yeah. If it's an option, if it's a put option, hang on a minute. Let's take a look. Where do the terms call and put come from, and how will I remember which is which? The term call comes from the idea that when you buy a call option, you get the right to call the stock away from the seller. Come here, stock. The term put comes from the idea that when you buy a put option, you get the right to put the stock to them. A call option allows you to call away the stock. Come here, stock. A put option allows you to put the stock. Here, sucker, take it to somebody, and let's look at each in detail. So now, here's where we get to what we just said, and I was afraid of getting you confused, and of course I was, but that doesn't matter. So here, where's my thing? Okay, call option buyer. Who's bullish? Who thinks the stock market's going to do really well? All right, Oscar. Who's my bear? Who thinks the stock market's going to crash and burn?
What,
bears? Bear is somebody who thinks the market's going to go down.
Yes.
Who's my bear? No bears in here? Okay, well, Shannon, you'll be our bear. Okay. Okay. We have the call option buyer, and this is what we've been talking about. We've been talking about the contract from the standpoint of the buyer. Well, wait a minute. It's a contract. There are two entities. If you've taken business law, remember, if you've taken business law, if you haven't, but you know what a contract is, right? You say, hey, I'll do this, you pay me this, right? Or I'll pay you this, you do this. It's the same idea. So there's a call option seller. The problem is, it's not only called a seller, it's also called a writer, and it's also called a maker. Call option seller, call option writer, call option maker, call option buyer is the only one you'll hear. The call option buyer is the person who has the option to call the stock away. Come here, stock. They buy the right to call the stock away from the seller. That was the dollar that they paid. They do not have to exercise the right. They don't. They're not under any obligation to go ahead and actually buy the stock. They can let it expire. Or they can turn around and sell the option. Close out the transaction. The call option seller is on the other side of the contract. They're also called the call option writer, the call option maker. The call option seller of the contract is the person who must sell the stock. They have to receive the stock. They've made a contract that says that if somebody wants to, they can sell them that stock for $20. Right, I'm sorry, I'm doing the other way around. Buy. They have to sell the option to them for $20. I said it wrong, I'm sorry. That was saying a put. They said, the call option buyer says, I want the option to buy that stock from you at $20. The call option seller says, all right, I'll accept that responsibility. And if you want to, I have to sell you the stock at $20. Now, what do they get out of the deal? They get the premium. They get the price of the stock. The call option seller is legally bound to sell the stock to the call option buyer. I did say it right. I'm sorry. I did say it right. And in return for that, they get the option premium, it's called. Oh, price. But the real name is option premium. But we call it the option price, too. So you see what they get out of the deal? They're getting a buck. And do most options expire worthless?
Yes.
So most of the time,
they pocket a buck.
How
do you do that? I want a buck.
Well, we'll get around to it.
That's different than buying and selling.
That's right. You're on the other side of the contract. You're on the other, because it's a contract, right? There's two people, two entities involved. And so what is the call option buyer hoping for? The call option buyer is bullish. The call option buyer is hoping that the price goes up. Why? Because then they can buy a $20 stock at $30. If the option buyer has the call option to buy at $20 and the price goes up to $30, they can buy a $30 stock for $20. What a deal. What's the call option seller hoping for? Well, they are hoping that the price goes down or stays the same. Because if it stayed at $20, would they bother? Maybe, you know. But who cares? You get an extra dollar and then you sell a stock for $20 and sell it for $20. Who cares? If the stock stays around $20 or goes
down, $21.
That's right. You basically sell the stock for $21 because you get that dollar from the option premium. If the stock stays around $20 or goes down, the call option buyer will not want to exercise the option And so the call option seller gets to keep the dollar. So the call option seller is bearish or sometimes called neutral. I'm going to spell it wrong, neutral. Or another word for somebody who's neutral, believe it or not, is chicken. You don't hear it that often.
Yeah, I want to be a chicken.
You want to be a chicken?
Well, it's kind of like bail bonds.
You're absolutely right. He's in that business already. When you are the call, I don't get to this yet, but I'll get to it. We'll get to it in the presentation. But when you're the call option seller, you're basically playing the part of the casino.
Yeah, how's that with us?
Not always, but yes, over time, the house does usually win over time. Now, if the stock went up to $30, what do you got to do? You got to go out there, buy it for $30, and turn around and sell it to somebody for $20. You see what you put yourself on the hook for? So you can lose big. Don't get me wrong. You can lose big if you're the seller. But most of the time, the option expires worthless. And so, if I ever were to do options, I'd be with Rogelio. I'd be on the F, which ain't never going to happen, I'm pretty sure.
So you're the seller, you don't necessarily own the
option? No, you don't necessarily own the stock.
You're just saying I have to go out and buy the stock?
Yes. Now, you can own the stock, and we'll get you guys are good asking great questions to get ahead of myself. So here we go. Okay, so Oscar, we need you to raise that up and show it to the world and read it.
Okay, call option buyer. I'm bullish. I pay a premium for the option. I have the right to call away the stock from the call option seller. I want the price of the stock to go up. If it does, I can make a lot of money. If it does not, I lose a premium I pay.
So you see what they're on the hook for? They paid the dollar. And what they're hoping is the price goes up. If it goes up, they're going to go to the call option seller and say, give me the stock. Now, the seller says,
I'm bearish or neutral. I received a premium for the option, the price of the option. I must deliver the stock to the call buyer if he or she calls the stock away from me. I want the price of the stock to go down or stay the same. If it does, I get to keep the call option premium. I don't make a lot of money, but I could lose a lot of money if I make it.
What? 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 You can lose a lot of money if you're
naked.
Do you understand what could happen? She gets that buck, but if that price goes to 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, she's got to go out and buy the stock at 20, 30, 40, or 50 and sell it for 20. Now, how can she protect herself? She can also have a put option. Yeah, that's right. That, yeah. She can be covered. If she owns the shares, then she's covered.
She doesn't have to buy it at 30.
Yeah, she just has to deliver the shares to the call option buyer. You understand? Now, what if this price goes up to $40?
She doesn't want to sell.
She can't sell the shares for $40, right? She loses that opportunity. She's got to deliver the shares to the call option buyer. And that means if she has the shares already, she is covered. She's not naked.
She's just losing her shares.
She's losing her shares. And that...
She's getting $40 for her shares.
No. She's only getting...
20.
What the contract is. And that is the only transaction with options that is allowed in an IRA, in a tax-qualified account. Normally, options are not allowed in a tax-qualified account. But the IRS says, all right, you're covered. So you can write a covered call. You have the shares of the stock. You can accept the dollar from the option buyer. And then if the option buyer exercises the option, you deliver the shares to the... I'm sorry, what? Oh, cool. Excuse me. Don't screw them. Because they're good. They're good. It's a ladybug. They're very cool. You probably felt it, didn't you? Get to work, Eduardo. Come on. What happened to everybody else? They're all gone. Okay. So you see what's going on? Do you want to get involved?
I want to be a chicken.
You want to be a chicken? Okay. Now, what about the option called put? Well, everything is in reverse. Everything is through the looking glass. So the put option buyer is what?
Chicken.
No, the put option buyer is a bear. What do they want the price to do? They want the price to go down. See, that's why somebody will say, well, look, the market's dropping. Why would anybody ever want the market to drop? Well, some people do want the market to drop because you can make money with the market going down, too. And there's people, put option buyers, who do. They buy the right to put the stock, sell it to the option seller. They don't have to exercise the right. Did I mention that most options expire worthless?
Okay. So if all these options expire worthless, the guy that's making any kind of money is
the seller.
Yeah.
And they're not going to make a whole lot of money, but over the long term, it is my belief that if they're prudent and they do this with discipline, they will win. But it doesn't mean that they can't lose a lot of money.
Well, that's just like bail. If I get somebody out, I'm going to report that.
And if they don't show?
Then I go crack their heads.
If you can find them. But what if you get a postcard from Puerto Rico?
I got a postcard from Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia? Oh, gee.
Really?
Yeah. That's they cut off their hands.
I still can cover them.
Okay, all right. You see what you see? He already understands his business because that's his business. He gets a little bit of money from people who basically lose all their money, right?
They don't lose it, they get their freedom.
Yeah, whatever. If they could come up with it, they didn't have to buy the bail. But if one person skips them, one person disappears, then he loses a lot. If one stock zooms up, you know, 20%, 30% in one day, or 100%, whatever it happens, is very rare, but it happens.
It's over 3 months, 6 months.
Over 3 months, 6 months, yeah.
It can go up, and as long as that six months, it goes back down.
Oh, you're really hopeful, aren't you? Good luck. All right, now what about the put option seller? What about the put option seller? Well, what are they hoping? Yeah, they're hoping that the price goes up, or at least stays neutral, stays the same. The put option seller is bullish or neutral, as we say, a chicken. Because if the price stays the same, the put option buyer is going to say, ah, screw it. Or if they do exercise it, you're not going to...
So as a chicken, could you sell one call option and one put option?
Yeah, that's called a... you're getting ahead of yourself. This guy already understands this industry. Okay, so who do we got here? Who's my bear? Who's my bull? Huh?
I'm the chicken.
You're the chicken. Stay out of this. Okay, how about it there, you two, huh? You want to be the put option buyer? You want prices to go down?
Sure.
Okay, you want to be the put option seller? No? Okay, how about... Okay, here's the, what is the put option buyer hoping for? The put option buyer is hoping that the price of the stock will go down, because if they do, they can sell a $20 stock for $10, right? They can still sell that stock for $20. Even if it goes down to $10, they still have the option to sell it at $20, and they can buy it at $10. What a deal. They can buy something at $10, turn around, sell it at $20, just like that. Well, they're buying it from the market. They just buy it from the market. Maybe they own the shares, but they put it to them. They have to buy them. They have to own the shares somewhere. Either they own the shares already, or they go out and buy the shares at $10, turn around, sell them at $20.
That's the chicken, right?
That's the bear. That's the bear. If it's a put option buyer, you're hoping the price does what? Is the put option buyer hoping to... I'm losing it, I can tell. What is the put option buyer hoping to do?
Down.
That's why it's tough, because it's a mirror. Zig and zag. The put option seller is hoping that the price goes up or stays the same. If the stock stays around $20 or goes up, the put option buyer is not going to bother to exercise the option. They're going to let it expire, and you get to keep your dollar. You get to keep your dollar. No matter what, you get that money. So here we go. Put option buyer. Tell me what you're interested in.
I pay a premium for the option.
I have the right to put the stocks to the option seller. I want the price of the stock to go down.
If it does, I can make a lot of money. If it did not, I lose the premium. I
okay, and my put option seller? She doesn't have the stock. You see what happens? She doesn't have the money. She needs to cover herself with enough money to buy the stock. So if she has enough money to buy the stock, so then when he says, here are the shares, where are the shares? Oh, there. I need those shares. When he says, okay, sweetheart, here are the shares, give me the money, she has enough money to buy the stock, she gives him the money. See what's going on? So that's how you cover yourself.
So you got your shares and she paid.
Yeah, and she had to pay $20. He bought him at 10.
So she could have gone to the market.
Tough. She gets the shares at $20, even though they're selling for 10. Now that, even though I believe it should be, I'm not the king of the world. That transaction is not allowed in an IRA, even though it should be, because it's basically the same transaction we had over here, where she had the shares and delivered the shares. She has the money, she delivers the money. But the IRS says no. So, sorry. Even if you have the money sitting in your account, you cannot execute a covered put in an IRA. Pity.
Yeah, oh yeah, okay.
Okay, so time for questions. Come on, make yourself up. Options are confusing, aren't they? Yes, they are. In fact, the section on options is one of the hardest parts of the Series 7 stockbroker exam. The other part is shorting and margining, which we'll do next week. Options sound like gambling. Am I right?
Yes,
you are. You are absolutely right. Options are a form of gambling. It is a zero-sum game. You know what that means? Somebody wins, somebody loses. That's not the case with stocks, folks. Stocks, everybody can win. The pie can get larger. The standard of living increases. People are earning more money. People are living a better standard of living around the world. So the pie gets larger. It's not a zero-sum game. But with options, somebody wins, somebody loses, and that's it. A family acquaintance once called me and said, "Hey, Frank, I hear you can make a lot of money investing in options." I said, "Whoa, wait a minute. Yes, you can make a lot of money, but you can also lose a lot of money, but you can't invest in options. You can speculate in options. You cannot invest in something that has a 60-70% chance of becoming worthless in 3 months. It's not an investment. Right? Investment is something that has a reasonable expectation of generating income, holding its value, or increasing its value. But options pay no rent, no interest, no dividends. They don't grow. They expire. So is that an investment? No. So if anybody says, "I want to invest in options," speculate, which is the industry's euphemism for
gambling.
Exactly. So when you hear, it's a speculative investment. It's an oxymoron. Yes?
So basically, brokers can be an option buyers and option sellers.
Oh, sure. But what do brokers want you to do?
Come in and sit down.
Come in, sit down. We want to get you hooked on options. Why? Because every time somebody buys a put or buys a call or sells a put or sells a call, what do the brokers do? You got it, sweetie. $10, $10, $20, $29, $5 commission.
The more you, a person buys options,
the more commissions the brokerage firm is going to generate. Because you don't, you know, you don't get it for free. You have to pay the commission. Well, that's true when you buy stock, right? You have to pay a commission. So let's take a look at some attributes. How are we doing for time? Are your brains full?
Yeah.
You ever see that one? What, are you a chicken? That one, I should have kept it. I'm sure I can find it. Gary Larson, the student, says, "Teacher, can I leave now? My brain is full." So let's do make a look at some of the attributes. The strike price. How should we do this? What color? We already discussed this. The strike price. That's the price that the contract specifies that the security will change hands at. The stated price at which you can buy the security with a call option or sell a security with a put option. And they jump in increments, $250, $5, $10, $20. Pricing is more flexible now. There are some stock options that can sell in a dollar increments. So it depends on the actual people running the gambling house. I mean the options securities marketplace. And they'll decide which is it. Yes.
So that a $2.50 increment would be really times 100.
Exactly. We're going to get to that in a minute. Everything is multiplied by 100. Wait till we get. You're absolutely right. I let the cat out of the bag.
So I was a chicken at 250 and I'm risking $250 less.
No, you're getting $250. You're getting $250, but you're on the hook to either buy it or sell it at the strike price. Hang on a minute.
100 shares.
Hang on a minute. Okay, now the expiration date. That's pretty easy. The date on which the option expires. Now, options expire typically on the third Friday of every month. Always expire. Sometimes because it's a holiday or something like that, so they expire Thursday. But yeah. The hour before the close of the market is called often the witching hour. Why? Because you'll see things go crazy when these options have to unwind themselves. Because they wait until the very last day and then they exercise the option and unwind the transaction. And when there are also stock index options, stock index futures options that we're going to discuss later. So when all three expire, it's called the triple witching hour. And that last hour and a half or so on the Friday afternoon is nuts. The market can do crazy things because people are unwinding these instruments. Okay. Now, exercise style. Not that important. Oh, you got to go online and look at all different options, exercise styles. American options can be exercised at any time. You don't have to wait until the expiration date, although most people do, to actually unwind the transaction. You can do it any time. European, you have to wait until the day that the option expires, and then it's done. I know there are Jamaican. I like look up Jamaican options. I like they're my favorite. They're strange. Who comes up with these ideas? So with it normally, yeah. If you wanted to take a profit from an option that had done well and there was still significant time left, why bother waiting to actually exercise the option? Just resell the option. Because remember, the option is a negotiable instrument. It is a security. So you don't have to wait until the day of the expiration and then exercise the options. You just sell the option. This person, if the stock went up $10 in one day, they bought the call option for $1, they could turn around and sell the call option for $11 to somebody else and not wait 3 months. Or they could say, I want the stock right now, sell it to me. So you have that option if it's an American option. If it's a European option, you can sell the option or just wait until the day that the option expires and then you go ahead and buy the stock. With me? Make sense? Okay, now.
Question.
Oh, yeah.
With the European option, you can do the same thing. You can sell it to someone else.
Oh, yeah. The option itself, you don't have to wait until the expiration date. You can sell the option. It's called closing out the transaction to somebody else.
Yes.
Yeah, but you don't meet the person, it's all done electronically. Okay, now, we took a quick look at the options chains, they're called. The list of available option contracts and their prices for particular security is called an option chain. And I think maybe Google was not the best choice. Let's use, who should we use? Somebody stable, like Exxon.
Microsoft.
Okay, MSoft, that's a good choice. Microsoft. So all you got to do is click options. You can go to finance.yahoo.com/options or just click on the word options. And what we're seeing is the options chain. Now, what's Microsoft selling for? $33. Notice that the options that are below $33 are a different color than the options that are above $33. There's a reason for that that we'll discuss. But look right around the price of the 33, the selling for 53 cents. Now, when do these options expire? I think they expire in May. They're showing us May. Yeah, they're showing us May. So these options, if you bought this option right now to buy the stock at $33, you would pay 53 cents, but when's it going to expire?
17th.
May 17th of this month. So you only have a few weeks, 3 weeks at the most, right? No, not even.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks until this thing goes poof. So you're hoping that the price goes up a few dollars between now and then, because that will go from 53 cents to a $1.50 or $2.50 in a matter of weeks. And then you could buy the stock at $33 or just turn around and sell the option before the expiration date. Make sense? No? Now, look at the put options. The put options are exactly the opposite. The ones above $33 are a different color than the ones below. Why? Because it's the mirror. And right around $33, they're selling for 69 cents. So you have 3 weeks or so, 2 weeks, for the price to go down. If the price goes down, what's going to happen to the price of your option? The price goes down of the stock, the price of the option is going to go up through the looking glass. And what happened to the price of the option today? It's gone down because the price of Microsoft has gone up, I'm assuming. Price of Microsoft's gone up 33 cents. And the price of the option, who is R2D2? The price of the option went down, oops, price of the put option, went down 28 cents. So very close to the price. You with me? Now, what I'm going to do now, remember this price, 69 cents, and we'll get one, 53? What I'm going to do now is take a look at August options. And if we look at August options, whoa, wait a minute. The price, now look, it went down below 30, it went down below, it's still above 33. The price went from 53 cents to $1.25 for the 33. This should be yellow. The system's not doing it right because it's still above 33. So, but it was 53 cents. Now it's $1.25. Why is that? Tough question. The other options expired in 2 weeks. These don't expire until August, until the third week in August. So there is time value included in options. Make sense? In other words, these options have more time for Microsoft to go up if it's a call option, and if it's a put option, for more time for Microsoft to go down. And we see that the 33 are selling at $1.82. They were selling for 69 for the May, $1.82. And then if we go out further, we should see the prices go up. Make sense? Yeah. The premium is the amount. That's the amount. That's the premium right there. We often use the term price, but it's that.
So